Throughout his career, one of Claude Hopkins' signature tactics was to find simple triggers to convince consumers to use his products every day. He sold Quaker Oats, for instance, as a breakfast cereal that could provide energy for 24 hours, but only if you ate a bowl every morning. He hawked tonics that cured stomach aches, joint pain, bad skin, and womanly problems, but only if you drank the medicine at symptoms' first appearance. Soon, people were devouring oatmeal at daybreak and chugging from little brown bottles whenever they felt a hint of fatigue or indigestion, which, as luck would have it, often happened at least once a day. To sell Pepsodent, then, Hopkins needed a trigger that would justify the toothpaste's daily use. He sat down with a pile of dental textbooks. "It was dry reading," he later wrote. "But in the middle of one book, I found a reference to the mucin plaques on teeth, which I afterward called the film. That gave me an appealing idea. I resolved to advertise this toothpaste as a creator of beauty, to deal with that cloudy film." In focusing on tooth film, Hopkins was ignoring the fact that this same film has always covered people's teeth and hadn't seemed to bother anyone. The film is a naturally occurring membrane that builds up on teeth regardless of what you eat or how often you brush. People had never paid much attention to it, and there was little reason why they should. You can get rid of the film by eating an apple, running your finger over your teeth, brushing, or vigorously swirling liquid around your mouth. Toothpaste didn't do anything to help remove the film. In fact, one of the leading dental researchers of the time said that all toothpastes, particularly Pepsodent, were worthless. That didn't stop Hopkins from exploiting his discovery. Here, he decided, was a cue that could trigger a habit. Soon, cities were plastered with Pepsodent ads. "Just run your tongue across your teeth," read one. "You'll feel a film. That's what makes your teeth look off color and invites decay. Note how many pretty teeth are seen everywhere," read another ad featuring smiling beauties. "Millions are using a new method of teeth cleansing. Why would any woman have dingy film on her teeth? Pepsodent removes the film." The brilliance of these appeals was that they relied upon a cue, tooth film, that was universal and impossible to ignore. Telling someone to run their tongue across their teeth, it turns out, is likely to cause them to run their tongue across their teeth. And when they did, they were likely to feel a film. Hopkins had found a cue that was simple, had existed for eons, and was so easy to trigger that an advertisement could cause people to comply automatically. Moreover, the reward, as Hopkins envisioned it, was even more enticing. Who, after all, doesn't want to be more beautiful? Who doesn't want a prettier smile, particularly when all it takes is a quick brush with Pepsodent? After the campaign launched, a quiet week passed. Then two. Then, in the third week, demand exploded. There were so many orders for Pepsodent that the company couldn't keep up. In 3 years, the product went international, and Hopkins was crafting ads in Spanish, German, and Chinese. Within a decade, Pepsodent was one of the top-selling goods in the world. It would remain America's best-selling toothpaste for more than 30 years, earning billions. Before Pepsodent appeared, only 7% of Americans had a tube of toothpaste in their medicine chests. A decade after Hopkins' ad campaign went nationwide, that number had jumped to 65%. By the end of World War II, the military downgraded concerns about recruits' teeth because so many soldiers were brushing every day. "I made for myself $1 million on Pepsodent," Hopkins wrote a few years after the product appeared on shelves. The key, he said, was that he had learned the right human psychology. That psychology was grounded in two basic rules. First, find a simple and obvious cue. Second, clearly define the rewards. If you get those elements right, Hopkins promised, it was like magic. Look at Pepsodent. He had identified a cue, tooth film, and a reward, beautiful teeth, that had persuaded millions to start a daily ritual. Even today, Hopkins' rules are a staple of marketing textbooks and the foundation of millions of ad campaigns. And those same principles have been used to create thousands of other habits, often without people realizing how closely they are hewing to Hopkins' formula. Studies of people who have successfully started new exercise routines, for instance, show they are more likely to stick with a workout plan if they choose a specific cue, such as running as soon as they get home from work, and a clear reward, such as a beer or an evening of guilt-free television. Research on dieting says creating new food habits requires a predetermined cue, such as planning menus in advance, and simple rewards for dieters when they stick to their intentions. The time has come when advertising has, in some hands, reached the status of a science, Hopkins wrote. Advertising, once a gamble, has thus become, under able direction, one of the safest of business ventures. It's quite a boast. However, it turns out that Hopkins' two rules aren't enough. There's also a third rule that must be fulfilled to create a habit, a rule so subtle that Hopkins himself relied on it without knowing it existed. It explains everything, from why it's so hard to ignore a box of donuts to how a morning jog can become a nearly effortless routine.